Habakkuk is quite unusual among the prophets of his day. It's not unique, but it is unusual in his approach to the suffering that he saw around him. The usual pattern, and you'll find it over and again in the Old Testament scriptures, the usual pattern when the people are suffering is to call them out for their sin. Insist on a return to the ways of the Torah, to obedience to their God. In general, the prophets declared that any suffering that the people were experiencing was down to their failure to live the way that God had called them. And of course, there was always something that the prophets could point at that was wrong, because there's always something wrong. Habakkuk is unusual because Habakkuk questions. Actually, Habakkuk criticizes God. And in particular, God's inaction in the face of the injustice and the suffering that he sees. With a cry that I'm sure anyone who has ever prayed will recognize. How long? The first part of our reading, the prophet's complaint centers around that question. How long? O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you won't listen? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? How long do I need to keep on crying out? How long do I need to pray? How long do I wait before you will take action? It's a question, as I say, that I suspect most of us have found ourselves asking of God. We pray and we have some degree of confidence that God hears us, but we don't see action. We tell ourselves that God's timing is different from ours, but there's a deeper reason that we don't know or understanding, but at least if you're anything like me, you don't find those explanations fully satisfying. The prophet's complaint, how long will I cry out and you will not listen, rings true. And honestly, if that's the only thing we hear in these words, the first, the most important thing in these words of Habakkuk, I think, is permission. It's permission to be frustrated with God, to be impatient with God. It is permission to declare, I do not understand why you aren't doing something. It is permission to imply that maybe God isn't listening. For that's where the prophet found himself. You might remember the story of Isaiah, where there's a confrontation between Isaiah and the prophets of Baal, to be settled by which of their gods would pour down fire on an altar and burn up the offering. And when the prophets of Baal pray to their God and nothing happens, Isaiah mocks them. Baal is meditating, he says. Or perhaps he's wandered away, or he's on a journey, or he's asleep. You might need to shout louder. It actually sounds even better when you realize that wandered away is actually an idiom in Hebrew for gone to the toilet. And of course, in that story, when Isaiah cries out, God immediately answers with fire. Habakkuk reminds us that Isaiah's experience there is often the exception. God, it often seems to us, has wandered away. God's attention elsewhere. How long must I cry out? Things are bad. the prophet says, there is injustice, there is violence, there is wrongdoing, there is trouble. How long must I call out? There is pandemic, there is war, there are floods, there is corruption, there is violence. We cry out as Habakkuk did. And I find it reassuring to know that we are in the company of the prophets in our impatience and frustration. Just as the Psalms often capture pain and anger and all of those other emotions that we label as negative or inappropriate for our approach to God, and remind us that God is actually quite big enough to cope with however we are feeling, not just how we think we ought to be feeling. So Habakkuk reminds us that God can deal with our impatience, with our frustration, even when that is directed at God, even when it verges on the edge of criticism of God. The second part of our reading was titled God's Response. But actually, first in it, we heard some words from Habakkuk about how he waited. I'll stand at my watchpost, station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what God will say to me, what God will answer about my complaints. Habakkuk's challenged God with this cry, how long? And now waits in expectation that God is actually going to answer. At least will answer that complaint. I guess this might be somewhere else that most of us struggle. Because the voice of God doesn't seem to come in a clear-cut way. Not always, maybe not often. Certainly not whenever we want it or expect it or need it. I think for me, at least, over the years, I've come more and more to recognize that God does speak when I seek God's guidance, but that God speaks mostly in ways that are more natural, in the words that others say, in something I happen to read, a memory that comes to mind unbidden, the ways ideas just fall together in the mind. I've learned, or to be honest, I'm learning, growth mentality, to trust that God speaks to us through those ways and others, and perhaps most of all, through each other, through our community of faith. But what Habakkuk does model for us is an expectation. I will watch to hear what God is going to say about my complaint. Perhaps he feels that if God won't respond to anything else, at least God will respond to criticism. And then Habakkuk records what he hears in God's reply. There is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and it does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will come. It won't delay. And that's a really unsatisfactory answer, isn't it? Habakkuk's question is, how long will it be? And God's reply is essentially, oh, it is coming. Wait for it. It won't be late. Thanks, God. Delay was exactly Habakkuk's problem. So maybe in these words we hear a challenge or maybe even a gentle rebuke. But mostly, I hope, we hear a reassurance just because things aren't happening the way you'd like them to or in the time you'd like them to, doesn't mean God isn't listening. It doesn't even mean there is a delay. It doesn't mean God's got God's timing wrong. It might seem to tarry, but it will not. It's actually quite like, for me, the vibe of the promises we had in Jeremiah. You'll remember we reflected on those over a few weeks recently. When Jeremiah wanted to assure the people that their suffering didn't mean that they were no longer the children of God. So Habakkuk hears from God the promise, even though my response doesn't come as quickly as you would like, it doesn't mean I've forgotten you. It doesn't mean I won't take action. Just not quite yet. It's not the answer that Habakkuk wanted, of course. It's not the answer that we want when we cry out, "How long?" But it's the answer God gave. It will come. There isn't a delay. And so then in the third part of the reading, which actually isn't in the lectionary as set, but I added because I love the way this conversation plays out, because we have Habakkuk's response to God's reply. And it has in it the classic hallmark of the prophets, a reverence for God. "I stand in awe of your works," Habakkuk says. Even an acceptance of God's decision. But don't you love the fact that even in that reply, even accepting that God has answered, saying, "Don't worry, it's coming in its own time, it hasn't been delayed," Habakkuk still slips in this appeal. In our own time, revive it. In our own time, make it known. Habakkuk said, "How long?" And God says, "In the right time," effectively. And Habakkuk replies as if to say, "Yes, but it would be good if that own time were our time, were quite soon. I'd like that, God, if it was while I was still here to see it." And then there's a little bit more. As if perhaps Habakkuk has realized somewhere in this conversation or somewhere in his memory of God's dealing with the people that God's solution to the corruption of the political and religious leadership, which Habakkuk is crying out against, might not actually be all good. That the systems he's living in might be so broken and so abusive that God would overthrow them completely. This dialogue happens in the run-up to the exile. The northern kingdom has already been conquered. It is not long before we will get to Jeremiah and the fall of Jerusalem. Perhaps Habakkuk has seen something that when God does respond, he might find himself saying, "Actually, delay would have been okay." He adds that rider at the end. "In wrath, remember mercy." Habakkuk cries out against evil and wrongdoing, destruction and violence. He surely knows that God is more set against those things than he is. And so he finishes his plea in wrath. Remember your mercy. Maybe Habakkuk has begun to grasp that God's delay might not be weakness, might not be not listening or not caring, but might actually be God's mercy. It's like Jesus' parable, the wheat and the weeds, where the farmer says, don't pull up the weeds, because if you do, you'll pull up some of the wheat with them. Let them grow together. We'll sort it all out at the harvest. In wrath, remember mercy. Perhaps delay is mercy. For God's love, God's desire to show mercy extends even to those who are guilty of the things Habakkuk is crying out against. God's mercy extends to those who have turned their backs on God. God's mercy extends to those who are guilty of the corruption and wrongdoing. Actually, that's quite good as well. We ought to remember that, for when we cry out against injustice, we should probably have the wisdom to recognize that we are also part of the problem. That we are beneficiaries of unjust systems, even though we, for the most part, haven't chosen to be. We have benefited. Our standard of living is built on a wasteful use of the world's resources, an inequitable use of the world's resources. Our quality of life in Australia is built, among other things, on the dispossession of the First Nations of this land. As Solzhenitsyn wrote, the line separating good and evil passes not through states, not between classes, not between political parties, but right through every human heart. So when we cry out to God, how long will you allow wrongdoing? We cannot forget that our hope lies firmly and fully on the grace of God, sometimes choosing to wait for us. That we live by faith that God's solution to human suffering will include mercy for our part in causing it. Habakkuk gives us permission to voice our impatience, to voice our frustration at God's seeming unwillingness to act. But we're reminded too that sometimes we depend upon that same delay. Amen.